All right, everybody, welcome to the first Pens Cast recap of the 2023-24 season. It is the evening of October 10th, 2023. The Penguins just wrapped up their first game of the season against the Chicago Blackhawks, and I don't know if you can see Snail's little tag under his name here, but it says hashtag same shit, different day, and as he said before we started recording, was it April 11th? Because if you watch that game, everything felt the same for the Pittsburgh Penguins, losing 4-2 to the Chicago Blackhawks, blowing a 2-0 lead, giving up 3 goals in the third period. And we will get into each of those goals here in a second. But before we start, I want to say thanks again for joining our revolution of taking over this podcast. If you hear any screaming in the background, I apologize, Garrett. Garrett is still in the basement, locked away for everyone's safekeeping. So, I'm going to turn it over to Snell here to start. Snell, just give me real briefly your thoughts on what we just saw against the Chicago Blackhawks on opening night.
Well, what we just saw was Sidney Crosby in the first line with Guentzel making his early return to the team here for opening night, him and Rusty. They had a lot of jump to their game. They looked good. They were pretty noticeable every shift. But then kind of a no-show from the depth, from this team's depth, I would say even the second line. Didn't see too much pop from Carlson. Was that April 11th is like, that should be kind of like the motto of this podcast. It felt exactly the same. I mean, the Penguins they secure a goal early. They pad their lead. Sid gets on the board first of the year. And then it's just kind of this, like, they just kind of collapse and there's just not a lot of life. And then the Blackhawks come back and they score, what, like 4 straight? But it's the Penguins soiling themselves late in the game again. It's not the type of game you want to see from this team. It just kind of soils the hype that was that the offseason accumulated. I'll digress. We'll get into it, but I'll pass it back to you. And just a disappointing first game of the season.
Yeah, that pretty much says it all. Very similar to what we've seen in the Penguins the past season or two. Just a complete and abject collapse in the third period. And they go up 2-0. With Brian Rust gets on the board. We'll go through the goals here real quick just to catch everybody up here in case you're listening to this without having seen the whole game. 7:04 into the first period, just after killing a penalty. Brian Rust first scores the first Penguins goal of the year. Good to see Rusty get on the board. We talked about his struggles last season, but he gets on the board. It takes a second to confirm the goal because, it bounces off the back bar. And not real quick, but a quick review gives him the goal. No more scoring in that period, but into the second period, 11:56 into the period, a beautiful passing play between Jake Guentzel and Sidney Crosby ends up with the puck in the back of the net. Crosby gets his first of the season. It was reviewed. There was an offside challenge, but it was determined the puck was barely kept in by Marcus Pedersen. Resulting in a goal. And the Penguins had an opportunity with all the momentum right after this to get a third, but the power play just could not come through. And then this is where things start going bad. 15:37 into the second, Ryan Donato cleans up a rebound in front. Connor Bedard with a secondary assist gets his first assist of his career, first point of his career, in fact. 10:05 into the second, Cole Gutman evens the score, and then Jason Dickinson off an odd bounce is there to pounce on the loose puck and put it past Jari at 15:29 in the third. That turned out to be the game-winning goal, and then Nick Foligno put the game on ice 18:33 into the third with an empty netter, and that was all she wrote on this one. And man, power play, it wasn't awful. But when you have that opportunity, you up 2-0, all the momentum, you got to find a way to get the puck in the back of the net.
No, absolutely. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I feel like a lot of these similar symptoms, a similar flavor, if you will, of last year. The power play, there's so much talent on the ice and a lot of passing, trying to pass it through the back of the net. It drives me crazy. I cannot iterate this enough that I just put shots on, just pepper the goalie. I would like to see more of that. Yeah, I would take reckless abandon shooting at this point than this trying to make these pretty, very last minute crisp little passes. Sure, it looks cool, but it doesn't matter if they don't score. The power play looked like it was in disarray. I think Carlson, the 101-point defenseman, former Norris Trophy, I expected more. I wanted to see him really kind of like unleashed, and he had his chances on the power play, and nothing. nothing on the power play. I thought maybe another thing I wanted to bring up was Jarry. I think there's a couple goals that it's game one. I'm trying really hard not to overreact, but I think we all have a little bit of PTSD from last season, and there was a couple of those. I'm just like, you're seeing the ISO cam from behind the net, and I'm just thinking, Jarry, you have to, your glove like touched it. You got to have those.
Yeah, and I mean, credit Peter Mrazek. He really kept the game, at least in that first period, from maybe getting out of hand. So credit to him for that. But and Jarry was pretty good until the final like 10 minutes of that hockey game. The second goal, not much you can say on that. You got to just the first two goals you really can't put on him. The first one, Donato, somebody's got to clean him out in front. Marcus Pettersson was way too weak on that goal, getting pushed out of the way by Donato and letting him all alone in front. And then the second one, I mean, somebody's got it. You can't just leave a guy sit there in the slot. He's going to – even your bottom six guys, if they get a shot like that, they're too good. They're more times out of not. They're going to at least get the puck on net, and they're going to put the puck in the back of the net. So those two, tough to put on Jarry. But the third one, it was a weird bounce, but he had time to react and get over. And if he, as well as he moved all night, he just looked really slow on that third goal. It even tipped his glove, like you said, and it ends up in the back of the net. But Peter Mrazek, hey, give him credit. They really could have got out of hand in the first period. He definitely kept the game close and kept momentum on, at least within grasp, reaching distance for the Blackhawks. And then they got that goal to make it 2-1. After killing off that penalty, and momentum certainly swung back quick, and the Penguins could never grab it back. Had some decent looks, but Crosby breakaway in the first period, didn't score. Riley Smith breakaway in the second period, didn't score. Carlson made an incredible pass to Jay Gensel for a one-timer in the third period. It did not end up in the back of the net. So the chances were there for the Penguins, but credit to Mrazek, but at some point these guys, again, finishing has been bad for the Penguins, and at some point it has to be rectified in some way.
Yeah, it looked like Martin Mrazek in there, not Peter Mrazek. That was he robbed Gensel a couple times right on the doorstep. I thought Gensel, for having off-season ankle surgery, and he was supposed to miss most of October, you wouldn't have guessed, right? He didn't seem to have that chemistry between that first line. I think that's what almost frustrates me the most, is that first line. Sid really is the heartbeat of this team. Sid, and not that I've ever doubted that. Without that line, this is a lottery team picking top five without Sid and those guys, I think. So, I think the big win is we didn't give Connor Bedard his first goal of his career.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you could say that that's a win. That guy was bound and determined. He had what, like 15 shots or something crazy? I don't know.
Yeah, he was definitely trying to score. He didn't score. He had a couple decent looks. Jarry made a nice save on one he had, I believe, in the second period. The shot is ridiculous. If that shot, he's got to get his goals at some point. The shot's too good. He's too good. He is much smaller than I thought he was. 5'10". I knew he wasn't tall, but man, he really looks like when once he bulks up, he's going to be a, he's already a strong skater. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does after this season. What he, when he gets a full off season of NHL training at his disposal, because he's going to bulk up. He's going to get around to, he's one, they said he's 185. He doesn't even look that big. He's going to get around probably Crosby's weight, I'd say. And again, Crosby's not a tall guy, but Crosby's extremely strong in the puck. And hey, credit to Bedard. He came out and played tonight. He looked good. That first line for the Blackhawks of Donato and
Hall,
Taylor Hall, it's going to cause problems for teams. Those are good players. Again, there were times where the Penguins had them in hell in the first period, and they couldn't capitalize when they did. And that's frustrating. And hopefully that's just a one-off or something we don't see very often. But given what we saw about the Penguins last year, it's kind of worrisome that way.
Very worrisome. And I don't really want to start beating this drum too early here. Again, it's game one. I told myself I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't come on here. And it's not doom and gloom yet. There was a lot of good things to take away from that game. But I think the PTSD and what we saw last year, missing the playoffs by a point, this is the Blackhawks, despite having Connor Bedard, should be picking in top five. They want to continue to tank, and they want to go scorched earth. The veterans they signed are one-year deals. They're looking to pawn them off at the deadline and recoup more draft picks. This is a team that's another lottery draft team. And this, it's game one, but again, these are the games that you need to bank for that game down the, those meaningful games down the road in April. And when you're in a wild card spot, or you're battling for a better position in the standings, these are those games that you need to just automatically banking them. And they weren't able to do that tonight. It's scary because we're seeing the same symptoms that we kind of saw last year. The power play looks like it's in disarray. Jeff Carter, he was noticeable to me. I was trying to not pay attention to him. I don't know about you, but he had a donkey move with that blatant hook in front of, I'm like, what are you, dude? You already have a target on your back in this organization or in this fan base already. It's not even like a smart hook. Like, sometimes you see him get away and they get away. It's like, oh, that was a smart, you know, they didn't get the call and they initially stopped a scoring opportunity. That was just like, I don't know, was it beer league hockey out there for him? I couldn't believe it. And then I couldn't stop watching him the rest of the game. And I was just thinking, you know, this, like, he's taken up a spot from someone like a Vinny Hinostroza or a Nylander or whoever. I don't know. I don't want to be, like I said, beating this drum too early, but Carter was noticeable again, taking dumb penalties, floating around, looking all slow. So, he certainly didn't help the cause at all. And he's primed and, he looks mid-season form to be the whipping boy yet again this season.
Yeah, staying on the topic of penalties, the penalty kill, I guess you're taking any positives away. The penalty kill 4-for-4. I mean, the Blackhawks had maybe some decent looks, but nothing that I consider 10 bell chances. Penalty kill, as bad as, I wouldn't even say the power play was absolutely dreadful, but the penalty kill is one positive you take away. I think overall the defense really wasn't that bad from the defensemen. That third pairing of P.O. Joseph and Chad Ruedel I thought was solid. Pretty much all night, playing about a combined, I just looked at their time here, roughly 11 and a half minutes on the ice. So that filled up what was not covered by Chris Letang and Erik Karlsson. If that's the situation, the ice time you're getting from your three pairings this year, I think that's pretty well a sweet spot. I really like how that ice time was distributed. And overall, the penalty kill is my one plus that I think I take out of it. The first line, that's just to be expected at this point. I don't even know if I can give them props because it's just what you expect night in and night out. They look good. The chemistry was there. I thought Riley Smith was noticeable, which for his first game with the Penguins, you had some preseason games, but your first actual full-speed game action, thought he looked good with Malkin. Drew O'Connor was noticeable with his speed, had a couple of nice looks at net. But again, some of the same symptoms that killed this team last year were present tonight. Hopefully, I mean, cross our fingers, it's early season rust. But given what we saw last year, I have a worry that maybe there's still some lingering effects from past teams. So, yeah, we'll learn more as these next few games go along. We have a back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. But given how this game started, it's pretty depressing to be sitting here and talking about what feels like the same exact game played 82 times last year.
No, absolutely. It's just too, it's like too soon, right? It's Chicago.
Yeah.
Every time Athanasiou touched the puck, I was just kind of like, oh God, Tyler Johnston, like, no, like just flashbacks. I know the penalty kill pretty good. That third pairing for the time that they get on the ice, good in their own zone. And at sometimes they weren't noticeable, but from a third pairing, that's actually good. You don't want to be noticeable. You want to be keep things nice and quiet, keep bad things from happening in your zone. P.O. and Chad Ruedel, I think they look solid right out of the gate this season so far. Carlson, I don't want to say that maybe he had some good plays. I don't want to get too negative. He definitely put on display some of his crisp passing from his own zone, the quick breakouts, which is why Sully, you know, has touted him in training camp and preseason. The Penguins' game has always been speed, and a way to accelerate your speed is quick breakouts from your own end. And I saw some beautiful tape-to-tape passing from Erik Karlsson. Saw him get bumped a couple times. Saw him talking to the trainer once, and that had my undies in a bunch. Yeah. I was like, oh no, here we go. And then the whole rest of the game when he was out there, I want to bubble wrap him. He took a Connor Bedard wrister off the hand. I saw him favoring his hand, but he jumped up in the rush and he ended up touching the puck again, and no chats with the team trainers after that, so that was good. But I definitely kind of felt the full spectrum of emotions. I was like, Sid is still rocking, let's plan the parade. Oh no, we're gonna be a lottery team. Carlson's amazing. Oh no, we need to bubble wrap him. Just a whole spectrum of emotions tonight, and it's only game one.
Yeah, long season, which is, I mean, if you're going to blow a second period lead or a third period lead, might as well do it at the beginning of the season. Unfortunately, the Penguins got very good at doing that all season last year. So fingers crossed that it's just a first game rust kind of thing. A lot of new faces have to get integrated into the roster. Other than that, I mean, Carlson did make a play at the blue line where he completely shook a defenseman out of his jock strap and got a great look at goal. And Mrazek made a tremendous glove save. Shot was ticketed for the top corner. Just a tremendous move that you don't see very often from defensemen. But yeah, it is what it is. Game one of 82 is in the books. The Penguins lose 4-2 to the Chicago Blackhawks. Brian Rust, Sidney Crosby get the Penguins goals. Looking ahead here before we wrap this episode up real quick. Friday night, October 13th, the Penguins get to take part in another home opener. This time it's at in this nation's capital of D.C. against the Capitals. That game is scheduled for 7:30. It will only be broadcast on ESPN Plus or Hulu, so that is something to keep in mind. And then they are right back at it on Saturday back home at PPG Paints Arena. They welcome the Calgary Flames for their yearly visit to Pittsburgh. That game is scheduled for 7 p.m. and will be broadcast. You can watch that on ESPN Plus if you are out of market, and in market, it will be the new Sportsnet Pittsburgh station to catch that locally. So as for us here at the Penscast, we have part two of our mailbag coming up. We are planning on recording that on Thursday. We'll be out on Friday, so pay attention for that. And then sometime in the beginning of next week, we will have another Penscast recap going over the games against the Capitals and Flames. So Make sure you are subscribed to us on all of whatever your preferred podcasting channel network is, Spotify, Apple, Audible, whatever you are on, Stitcher, whatever you choose. Make sure you have us set to download so you don't miss any episodes. I'm not sure on Garrett's status for Thursday night. It depends on if I get that lock fix on his cage in the basement. So my guess is Garrett did not listen to either of the episodes that we recorded yesterday, because he did not see anything in the group chat about our jokes going around about.
How could he? Don't you have his phone?
Oh, that's right. I do have his phone. I just played some Beethoven in the basement for him. That's what keeps him from turning into a gremlin. So he might be back depending on how I'm feeling on Thursday. I'll determine whether or not I will let him join us again to record. So for Snell, do you have anything to say before we wrap this up after game one?
No, just a little doom and gloom in for the Penguins fan base. This is just it was too soon. You know, when someone tells like a harsh joke, it's just too soon.
Yeah.
The wound has not healed, as it's proving, this pain I feel. I'm going to sit down and watch the Kraken, I guess, play Vegas tonight. I love having these early games out west here, man. I love being able to watch the Penguins. Yeah. And then I can just, it's like 6 hours blocked off of my day just watching hockey. So I'm going to go marinate on my couch. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. That's all for me, Robbie.
All right. That sounds about right. And I will not be marinating on my couch to watch a late night hockey game, because I have to be, it is 11:23 my time here on the East Coast. I'm going to bed. I have to be at work at 7 a.m. So I'm going to go shower. Yeah, I'm going to go shower. And for Snail, this is Robbie. Garrett, just forget about it. we will talk to you with part two of our mailbag later this week. Remember, Friday, Saturday, Penguins are back in action, and we will recap those games over the weekend. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we will see you next time.